We'll just go in chronological order. So Siman Tov Resh Hei brings the minhag of kaparos. The Ramah points out it's a minhag of asikin and nohagin b'chol ha-medinos ve'en l'shanot. The only shinui that has taken place is the means of the kaparot. What's mentioned in the Ramah is the minhag of taking tarnagolot, other communities, and tarnagolim, zachar and nekeva, and for those who are pregnant, the tarnagol and the tarnagolet, to cover whatever the ubor may be. There are communities that do it with dagim, and then there are communities that do it with that which really runs the world, at least until relatively recently, with money. And so if you're going to use money, then the money should be the equivalent, l'chora, of a tarnagol, if that's the source of the minhag. So you should just know that the current going price for a tarnagol, for kaparis, is 30 shekel. So I would use that as your gold standard. The only thing the Mishnah Berurah mentions is that this should not come out of Meiser Ksafin. Yesh biyodo mos Meiser shelo lo yifte bahem, rak b'mos shel chulin. Okay, so those of you who want to do with chickens, you can go up to Beit Vegan by Agra, Amshanov. You should be able to find any time between now and and tomorrow morning. Yes?
Then you have a sign in Tartaria as kaparis with chickens tonight.
Tonight, yes. Probably, yeah. Wonderful. Okay. That means it's subsidized. The kollel can afford 30 shekel. If the gabbai tzedaka can put a plate on the bima, they're done. Okay. So those of you who want to do with money, so the money should go to the aniyim of Yerushalayim that we generally take care of. Moving back to Siman Tov Resh Daled. Seder Erev Yom Kippur, so we have a mitzvah le'echol be'erev Yom Kippur, a drasha on the psukim, to be marbe be'achila u'bishtiya. It's according to Mishnah Berurah, it's ve'litein schar. It gives us a tremendous schar that we get the schar ki'ilu we fasted by eating. But most of the day is spent, aside from eating, in the completion of the dinim of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Yesh kol adam lechapes lefashpesh v'maisav lashuv v'hem baseres yimei tshuva. That's certainly the avoda of tomorrow. Hu hadin in terms of asking for mechila. That's brought in Siman Tov Resh Vav. Yifayis adam chavero berev Yom Kippur, and not to forget those from who we should ask mechila, namely our wives, our parents, our children. That's part of the avoda of tomorrow. In terms of davening, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, we don't say Tachanun. We did say Tachanun today because there's a chakira among the achronim. When exactly does the mitzvah of eating of Erev Yom Kippur kick in, tonight or tomorrow morning? We paskin as of tomorrow morning, and so today was a regular day, only as of tomorrow morning. In terms of tefillah, it's brought over here that the tefillah is Mishum Tshuva and Mishum Keri. So even those who were Tovel on Erev Rosh Hashanah should be Tovel again. Then moving over to Siman Tov Resh Zayin, Sarach L'Hizvados B'Mincha Kodem Sudam Afsekes, we daven Mincha Gedola tomorrow, to be Yotze the day of Senga Vidui before the Suda HaMafsekes. However, that doesn't take away from the chiv of the other Rishonim to say a vidui as the day enters, and that we're mekayim via tefillas zaka. The Rav felt that one should say Oshamnu Bagadnu, the Seder Vidui HaKotzar, just as Yom Kippur is entering right before Kol Nidre, to be Yotzei the Sheet of Ramban, that aside from the vidui we say before Sudim HaSekes, we also have a vidui as Yom Kippur enters. The vidui, which is mentioned over here, is mentioned that one should say it Besof Hatfila, Yochid Omro Achar Shigamar Tfilaso, Veshliach Tzimra Omer Betoch Tfilaso. The Gura was very makbid that Achar Shigamar Tfilaso means after he finished the brachos of the Tfila, but while he's still within the context of Tfila, I mean before he says Yula Ratzon, and only to say Yula Ratzon if you have to stop your vidui in the middle in order to answer Kedusha, but otherwise to try and get as much as the vidui in still before Yula Ratzon. The vidui is pointed out in Sif Gimel, Sarach Lizvados Me'umad, that's Me'ikar Hadin, and the Mishnah Berurah brings in the minhag of Tov Shiyishche Kamo B'modim, if one is still young and one can still bend over, it would be proper to say it mu'umad, again the ikar adin, and the minhag of being kafur. Siman tafresh ches moves over to the suda mafsekes. One doesn't need lecha mishnah for the suda hamafsekes. There are those who are noeg to be makbil the chala bidvash. Many are noeg that way through sukkos till Hoshana Rabbah. But in any case, what is mentioned over here is in terms of the timing that one should clearly finish the suda kedei lahosif mehachol al hakodesh, and that means finishing the suda means enough time to also clean out your mouth, to leave enough time for also to set this Yom Kippur. Siman Tuf Reish Yud Hadlokas Neiros Bi Yom Kippur. Our minhag is to light candles for Yom Kippur. The minhag is also to be mavarech on the lighting of the candle for Yom Kippur. Also, the women generally say Shechianu at the time of the Hadlokas Neiros. And the Eitzah is given over here in the Ramah, that the candle which is lit, or at least the equivalent of the candle which is lit, should also be in the room in which the husband and wife are sleeping, to remind them of the Iser of Tashmish Hamita. In Sif Dalid, in Siman Tav Reish Yud, it points out, Noagim Laharbos Neiros Batei Knesiot, that were Mekayim with the fluorescent lights, but Noagim Shekol Ish Godol Okatan Oselo Ner. They're leaving aside the Ner Neshama that one lights for those relatives that one lights an Ner Neshama for. There should be a Ner Bari, which is lit by every family. That there should be a Ner for a family. Sogi Ner Echad. Where one lights that, there are those who light it in shul. If you're planning lighting in shul, you should scout out a place where you can put silver foil underneath it and where it won't cause any damage, but many, many are knowing to light it in the home as well. In the home, not as well, but either in the home or in shul, many are knowing to light it at home where it's a little easier to be in charge of. There's a minhag of a special birkas habonim, which is said on Erev Yom Kippur, and then Leil Yom Kippur, Dino Kiyomo, before one gets to Leil Yom Kippur, before Kol Nidre, one puts on a talis with a bracha, those who normally wear a talis. And at the end of Siman Tav Reish Yud, it points out Noagim Lobo Shakitol, Lavan Benaki, and women also have a minhag of being Lov Shot Begadim Levanim. We mentioned already the Tfilas Zaka that serves as the vidui as Yom Kippur enters. And the Kol Nidre we say in the yeshiva, according to the Nusach of the Luach Eretz Yisrael, Yom Kippur Sha'avar Ad Yom Kippur Zeh, the Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippur Haba Aleinu L'tova. I think that brings us up to the, what else? In terms of Baruch Shem Kavod, the minhag in the yeshiva is to say it together, B'kol Ram, after we say Shema, just to wait for a second that everyone finishes saying Shema, then to say Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchus Yom Voed, together. During the daytime, if there were to have been a break in the davening, so generally the time period that would bring about another bracha on a talis is Shah Achas Oshtayim, so only after 2 hours would one make another bracha. Less than that, we assume there's not a Hesech Hadas, but I don't expect that there'll be very much of a break, because we break the fast early. So the day is over very, 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 very early. In the yeshiva, we don't add anything to the machzor. We don't add slichos. We don't change the nusach of amitz koach. We daven, like the Gra davened. And like Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld and Shmuel Salant. But it was Minhag Eretz Yisrael. That's the davening that we daven here. You should bring something for the various kriyot, a towel, etc. When you come in the morning, we begin at 6:30. Sosman Kriyat Shema is already at 7:45 approximately. So we like to get up to Yishtabach by 7:15, and in that manner be able to get in Sosman Kriyat Shema properly. Motzei Yom Kippur. I think most of us didn't say Kiddush Levana yet. So normally, in most communities, First Kiddush Levana is said, and then Havdalah is said. People come back to the shul, but I don't feel it's proper, since we have a lot of women in shul, to keep them waiting while we say Kiddush Levana, so we'll say Havdalah. Then the women can go to the auditorium and break their fast, well, without having men blocking the tables. And then after Kiddush Levana, we will join them. It's points out in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh that even though generally one shouldn't say Kiddush Levana on an empty stomach, for Dafka Motzei Yom Kippur, because of the Simcha of the Kapara, that is not considered to be a Ma'akev. However, if you can remember to bring your shoes in a bag beforehand and to put on your shoes, that would be Adif, to say Kiddush Levana B'Begodim Noim. If you forget, so then whatever you have on your feet will suffice, that you had all day, will suffice for Kiddush Levana as well. In terms of Havdalah, we make Havdalah on a Ner Sheshavas. I will put in Rabbi Bednarsh's office a Ner Sheshavas that will be used for Ma'or and will not be used for, that will be used for Ma'or and not for Malacha, and that's the Ner that we want to show the Heker, that now this Ner will already be Mutar L'Malacha. But the Nerot that we use for Ner Neshama, the Ner Bari, that's more problematic because they weren't lit l'chatzchila for Or, and so we'll, you know, just be aware that there is a Ner Sheshavas, it'll make its way somehow into the shul, or someone will go and bring it. Okay. In terms of the Chamisha Inuyim, what's usually done is to light a Havdalah candle from the Ner Sheshavas and to have the combination of both candles. When one says a Borei Mori Ha'esh, of course, as you're aware, there's no Borei Menei Besamim, just a Borei Mori Ha'esh and a Borei Pri HaGafen. In terms of Achila V'Shtiyah, even though Yom Kippur is more chamur than the other tzomot in terms of te'ima, that in other tzomot one is allowed to be toim upoleit or maflit, simply to put into one's mouth and to spit out, Yom Kippur, that's not permitted, but b'chol zot, it's brought in Siman Tavkuf Samach Zayin in Hilchos Tainis, that one is allowed to swallow one's saliva on Yom Kippur. Those who need a psak in terms of shiurim, so you just know what the shiurim are. In terms of solids, it's 30 grams. 30 grams is the weight of a waffle, the ones that they sell, you know, for about a shekel or two. Approximately to give you a sense of how much it is. And in terms of liquids, it's 40 milliliters. A teaspoon generally is 5 milliliters. So it means up to 8 teaspoons every 9 minutes. In other words, if there are those of you who have issues in terms of health, you should certainly ask sooner the better. Those whose wives are expecting or are nursing and have questions also should ask sooner than later. In terms of those from who we receive psak that you're allowed to eat, there is a question as to whether one makes kiddush. Does one say yalla v'yavo in birkas hamazon? Does one say yalla v'yavo in birkas hamazon? And the hachra, the Mishnah Berura, is kiddush no, because it's a machlokas whether kiddush was mutukan in such a situation. So it's at sovik brachos l'haka, we don't say kiddush, but if you're already saying birkas hamazon, then one should say, preferably, Yalla V'Yavo. But if you don't, you don't have to be repeat Birkas HaMazon. Okay, generally, just that the rule of thumb, is that if one basically is healthy, but if one doesn't eat, one is going to become not healthy, right, then the shiurim come in to prevent a person from becoming not healthy. They're meant to prevent a difficult situation. If one is basically unhealthy, then one eats. In other words, then generally one doesn't get to the world of shiurim. But again, it's a sort of a sliding scale. And so, any questions that you have, you should ask. If anyone asks you in terms of anyone who is diabetic, a diabetic should eat and drink, not shiurim, but a diabetic should eat and drink. And diabetic means who's taking insulin shots. Okay, in terms of rechitza, what's brought in Siman Tafresh Yud Gimel is that the Isur of rechitza is rechitza shaltanut, and therefore one's allowed to wash off any dirt which is on one's body, and that's the heter also for Netilas Yadayim up to Sof Kishrei Etzbaot in the morning. It's not viewed as Rechitza Shel Tanug. That's the heter for the Kohanim to be Notel Yadayim before the Duchening. And that's as far as Rechitza goes. Sika, Siman Tafresh Yudalid, that's Asur Afilu Eino Elo Lahavir Hazu Amo. Even if we're not talking over here about Rechitza Sika Shel Tanug, B'chol Zod it's Asur, it's irrelevant whether the Sika is done with Shemen or with Mishka or with a spray, and therefore any deodorant should be put on before Yom Kippur. Nila Sasandol, Meikar, the din of the Mechaber, depends upon the material of the shoe. That if we're talking about leather, then it's Asur. Any other material, no matter how supportive, is Mutter. Mashenk and the Mishnah Berurah points out that Yesh Machmir, Mitzvah Machokas Rishonim, and therefore it'd be proper to be Machmir to wear something that one would feel the ground. That one would feel the ground when one walks on the ground. And the Mishnah reveals that it's nachon lahachmir bazeh. He gives the example of wearing socks as opposed to wearing shoes, but again, it depends where you are, where you're coming from, and where you're going to. But it's true, meikar hadin, we paskin that as long as it's not leather, it's mutter. In terms of the Easter of Tashmi Shamita, so the Mechaber says, v'asar liga v'ishto ki'ilu hinida, that one, v'asar lishanim ishto b'mita, namely that to view it as the status of nidus with the harchakot. Okay, any other questions in terms of Yom Kippur? Yes? The top, the material, there shouldn't be leather in the top as well. There shouldn't be leather anywhere in the shoe, even if it's just the decoration, it shouldn't be. In terms of where you would light, normally a woman is mekabelet Shabbos when she lights. Right. So she'd be mekabelet the Tosefet of Yom Kippur when she lights. And so she should put it where she wants it to remain. In other words, if she wants it, you don't have to bring your silver candlesticks into your bedroom. It means that if you light a Yortzeit light that would light for the night, so then she would light it l'chatchila in the bedroom, or I guess she would light it l'chatchila in the bedroom, or her husband can move it. It's not a din. It's not a question of Chanukah in terms of halakha or mitzvah. Chanukah or mitzvah, but if she's mekabelet Yom Kippur with the lighting, so then it should be for her. If she's the one who's going to be moving it, it should be where it's planning to be. Yes. Regular. It says in the Mechaber they wash regularly. V'chein kohen ho'ola laducha notel yodav afal pi shehein tohoros. And it's pointed in Mishnah Bura, then karogil. Notel yodav anatila hahu ad haperek. Move over to Siman Shin Kuf Kaftas. Ad haperek isn't the way they would normally wash, not to the Kishrei Etzbaot. Okay, moving over to, yes?
Halachos would mean all, even passing things, meaning all...
The Mechaber speaks about it, Kenida, I always assume that yes. In terms of Hilchos Sukkos, so let's take it from two perspectives. First, we'll start with the Arba Minim, because that's what they're already selling them, and move over to the Sukkah. In terms of, remind me what I want to say. In terms of Arba Minim, the fact that it's a Shemitah year this year does us to a certain degree a favor, because we don't have a problem of esrogim or kavim. Namely, that every esrog that one is going to be purchasing, which is grown in Eretz Yisrael at least, is coming from an otzar beis din, which means you're not purchasing it, but simply you are receiving it as part of a chaluka from an otzar beis din, and the money that you're giving goes to cover expenses. And the otzari beis din are, this year, there are three large otzros beis din. The Badatz Leida Charedis is an otzar beis din. Rav Vosner from Bnei Brak has an Otzar Bezdin, and Rav Nissen Karelitz from B'nai Brak as well has an Otzer Beis Din. Those, to the best of my knowledge, three large Otzeros Beis Din, probably others as well. So they've taken care of the problem. They don't have an Esrog Murkav, and generally they have two or three prices simply to mitzat tikkun ha'olam, namely that then people who can't afford to pay more than 40 shekel or 30 shekel for an Esrog can pay the 40th shekel, and those of us who can afford to pay a little more will pay a little more. So overall, the hotzos of the Beis Din are taken care of, but you're not buying your Esrog. You're simply covering either a little more or a little less of the hotzaot. And generally the siman is that you're buying a closed box, you don't pick, and you can only return it if the esrog is pasul. What makes an esrog pasul? So generally in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Lartz one thing, but in Eretz Yisrael one of two things. In Eretz Yisrael we have an issue of yerok kikarsi, that the esrogim that turn yellow were already sent to Chutz Lartz. Even in a Shemitah year they send them to Chutz Lartz. But those that remain in Eretz Yisrael, many of them are still green. However, if it's a green which is going to turn into a yellow, then it's mutar. That's what's brought in Tafresh Mem Hey, Tafresh Mem Ches. Later on, Sif Kafalach Hayorok Shedomel Isvei Hasad Epasul Ela Imken Choser Lamara Esrog Kasher Kishemashin Oso. Mr. Brewer points out that it should already begin to be matziv. That it should be already. One should begin already to see that it is turning a bit yellow. Yes, I just have a picture here. So, this is the color that one should be aware of. It's a very, very deep green, like St. Patrick's Day parade. So, okay. A very deep green. That's sometimes they do turn, and sometimes they don't turn. So you should get something. The moment that you have it as a lighter green, it means it's on its way to changing to be the proper color. That which generally passels an esrog is that which is found in Sif Yud Beis. Mechotmo ve'elech, dahainu b'makom shemaskil l'shafeya arapitma, poso chazizis, v'kol shinui mare, b'kol shehu. Says the Mishnah Berurah, kol shinui mare, k'gon shachar v'lovan. That even if you were to have a dat, which is kol shehu, and kol shehu, the Mishnah Berurah says, nire l'kol adam. Im ein nire la'ayin, machmas dakuso, tzarech l'istakel, ein ze kol shehu sheposo. You should be able to hold the esrog at a normal distance from your eye, and if then you would see a black dot, which is part and parcel of the esrog, it's not dirt, that passes the esrog when it's michotlo ulamala. If it's michotmo ulamata, then only if it's going to cover the roof, and that is very, very, very rare. So when you get an esrog, just check michotmo ulamala, and the bletloch, probably a picture over here of bletloch, I don't know if you can see very well, but it's sort of like a discoloration which will remind you of a leaf touching the esrog, which is what caused the discoloration. That's not a problem, meikar hadin, in terms of even mechotmo ulamala. There would be a hidur if it were to be totally, totally clean. Generally, if you have an otzer beis din for 130 shekel, you would hope that there wouldn't be bletloch mechotmo ulamala. But you can't return it if there are, because it's kosher. You can only return it if it's not kosher. If it's not kosher, would be that it's chaser for some reason, or that there's a black dot. If you make it chaser by trying to remove the black dot, I don't think it's very proper to return it. You should just buy another one and be more careful. The Seder, that's what we have over here in terms of the esrog, a regal achas. The gidul is a nice hidur. It should look like a tower, but again, since you're buying a closed box, if it's kosher, then you should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're living in Eretz, that you're in Eretz Yisrael, in Shnas HaShmita, and have tremendous simcha of a mitzvah. In terms of the lulav, Siman Tafresh Memhei, in Sif Gimel, we have the din of Nechlak Hatiomes. And here we have a tremendous difference between Ikar Hadin and our Minhagim. Meikar Hadin, if you have a situation where rove of the olim are nechlak atiyomis from top to bottom, then it's pasul. But Yesh Meforshim says the Rama, the im nechlak ha'ola ha'olyon ha'emtsoi ad ha'shedra. If the middle leaf is broken, is opened up ad ha'shedra, namely the entire manor, then that's pasul. V'hachi nohagin. Miu lechatchila mitzvah min hamuvchar lito lulav shelo nechlak ha'ola ha'olyon klal. As to the Mishnah Berurah points out that we have two in between shiurim, a shiur of a tefach, and in terms of the chumrah of the yesh machmirim, that some say only if it's the shiur of a tefach, and the chayi adam says that the Ramah meant mamish mashahu. He meant mashu. So we're machmir that the tiomet should be totally closed. The tiomet, the double leaf on the center leaf on the aleh elyon, should be totally closed. But that's what one should look for. If one finds one that's slightly open, mikar adin, it's fine, unless it reaches the point of being rubo open, and then rubo kukulo, then ad hashedra. Then it would be pasul. What one does find occasionally is a situation in Siv Zayin of Nistak in the Srachaku Shtei Sadok of Zelazed, namely that all the leaves are full double leaves, but there's like an opening between the two top leaves, and it appears like a hymnic. It appears like you have a pitchfork. It appears as though the center leaf is broken into two, and in reality, it's two leaves that simply are separated from one another. There also the mar'eh is enough to say that it's pasul. And so where exactly you draw the line, what is considered to be nistak kehimnik is a call of a posek. They have over here a picture as well. If I can find it. Where was it? Kuchmenbo. If you can see over here, that it comes up. Normally the leaves would be like this, and here you have, whereas it comes up, the two leaves on the top sort of, in other words, make sort of a semicircle, and that would be the nifsal kehimnik. In terms of the klipa aduma, what's called the kara, the bark, the red bark on the esrogim, that's talya minhag. The many of Eidot HaMizrach view it as a lechatchila, that there should be bark, and chassidim view it as an anathema, because then they can't shake the lulav and you can't hear the kol hana'anuim. And for those of us who are litayim, the ikar is that the tiomet should be closed. If the tiomet is covered by bark, then it's a little hard to know what, I guess you could assume that it's closed, but you're sort of making an assumption, and then you hope when the bark falls off that you'll find that it was really closed all along. So if you can see what you're buying, that's a little better. Hu Adin, that it shouldn't be akum very much to the two sides or towards you. In terms of the hadasim, Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to use the heter or the ramah to use hadasim 2-in-1 and 2-in-1 and 2-in-1. We view those as hadasim shotim in Eretz Yisrael. You should be able to find hadasim that would be 3 tvachim of meshulash. You pay a little more for 3 tvachim of the Chazon Ish than you pay for the 3 tvachim of Reb Chaim Noah, but you should be able to find very, very nice hadasim. According to most poskim, hadasim do not have kedusha shvius. They're eitz ba'alma, like the lulav is eitz ba'alma, and even though they have a reyach, but it's not a reyach that you're purchasing the hadas because of the reyach. It's not like the samim that they would get kedusha shvius through the back door. But there are poskim who say that they have kedusha shvius, and so they're going to be hadasim that will be sold, I guess, via or distributed via an otzar bezdin as well. But I think you can be somach on rov poskim that they are eitz ba'alma, and you can just go ahead and choose your own hadasim. There is one well-known kula of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach which helps in terms of Meshulash, and that is that sometimes you have over here the stem, and so the ideal Meshulash would be that you have 1, 2, and 3 coming out of the exact same level on the stem. But sometimes you have the following situation, where the hadas, where the leaf comes off, so these leaves are attached to the stem with something that has a little bit of a length. And so sometimes you'll have 1, and then 2, and 3. Namely, that there is a certain pointed intersection between where this leaf comes from, and this leaf comes from, and this leaf comes from. As long as there's a pointed intersection where the leaves meet, where they come from, that's also considered to be Mishulash. That's so again, it makes it a little easier because it's not always that they're all going to come out of the exact same point on the stem. In terms of Aravos, who are then, it's not a big deal in Eretz Yisrael. You should just be certain that it's an Arava, not a Tzaftefa. In terms of the shape of the leaf, that there should be elongated leaf. There shouldn't be large zigzags on the leaves. There should be a certain reddish tint, if possible, to the stem. That there shouldn't be gazulos. So if you're buying from a kid, you should ask him, where are these hadassim from? Generally, children are very, very open, and they will say, oh, you know, it's I spent all night stealing them. You shouldn't be over an iser of lulav hagazel, rav hagzula. Aravos are a dime a dozen, so they will advertise that they are lavluv. Lavluv means that that there is a leaf coming out of the end of the stem. Since we know that there's a din of katum, that if the arava has been cut, then it's possible. So if you have a leaf coming out of the end of the stem, you're certain that it's not katum. But even without the lavluv, you could generally tell whether it's been cut or whether this is the natural form of the arava. Okay, that's in terms of regal achas, in terms of arba minim, yes? You should ask him. You know, if you have to ask the kata. I mean, you have to.
Not that he's stolen, but even if it's like his father's, then does he have a yad to?
So if the katan is, we're talking over here not about karka, but about metaltalim, and if he has a sense of business, he's yodei mekachu memkar, so then it's a king. It's a king. In terms, yes.
Yes. No place where you can choose where you buy, or that's the way it is, like now.
You can't buy an Esro Kedusha Shvius. There's an Isra of Schora on Kedusha Shvius. The only thing you can have is a Chalukah. If you will find a place that will say that the Esrogim over here are a certain price and they want to open it up, and you can say, we're taking X amount of money to cover our expenses, and you can pick the Vakasha. Usually you'll find such places by large shuls in neighborhoods. And if you go up to Beis Knesset Hagra, maybe you'll find such a place. But generally, what people do in terms of as a showing that they didn't buy the esrog, but they're simply paying the mechaluka, is that they get a closed box. In terms of sukkah, so again here we have also first break it down to two areas: one in terms of the mivne of the sukkah, and one in terms of the dinei yeshiva sukkah. So in terms of the mivneh of the sukkah, so all these things remind me to tell you. Okay. In terms of the mivneh of the sukkah, firstly, just I shouldn't forget to tell you, is that the sukkah in which the meals are going to be served is the sukkah of Machon Lev, of Zamir. the sukkah of downstairs, of Zamir Taratraga, the large sukkah by the Chadar Ochel. There will be a schach put on the area by the student center for the kolel, that you'll be able, if those of you who want to sleep there can sleep there, those of you who want to take your meals up there can take your meals up there to eat there in a little quieter atmosphere. It's a kosher sukkah, mitzad the walls and mitzad the schach. I just have one request, that there's going to be an alumni event on Yom Tov Sheni, on Wednesday, first day of Chol HaMoed, for those of us who live in Israel, between the hours of 9 and 1 in the sukkah by the student center. And so those of you who are sleeping there, before you go to Minyan in the morning, please take out your mattress and put it somewhere. And then, you know, it's, you're welcome to bring it back in at 2 in the afternoon or 1:30 in the afternoon. Okay, in terms of the schach should be, of course, gadol min hakarka. It should not be mekabel tumah, and it should no longer be mechubar. So in Chutz La'aretz, I assume most people use either bamboo or branches. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't have naturally bamboo, not very much. Branches are also very kar ha-metziyut. And so the original minhag in Eretz Yisrael began to use what they call plafonim. What are plafonim or plafonim? There are slats. The Chazon issued slats. In other words, and even though the Shulchan, again, the Iker din of the Mishnah, as long as the slats are not 3 to 4 tvachim, is not an issue. But b'chol zot, it's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch that one shouldn't use slats because we're afraid that they're going to use them to prevent the rain from coming in, and it looks like a floor, v'chule v'chule. In Eretz Yisrael, one can use slats without a problem. That's considered to be minhag hamakom. The other form of covering a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, aside from slats, I mean, assuming again that the slats were not once part of a kli, not, you know, part of your lift, etc., and then they may have a problem in terms of mekabel tumah as being kalim. The other form that they use are mats, machzalot, and the mats come with all sorts of hechsherim. Why did the mats require hechsherim? So it's clear that these mats were not made in China for people to sleep on. These mats were made for schach. A mat which is made for schach, the chora, is fine and good. The problem is that the mats are made of very, very thin pieces of bamboo, and they're held together that they shouldn't fly away in the wind by some form of rope. And here we have a halacha that if you have chutim, namely if you have that which is nishtana, even though it's gadol min hakarka, it's not mekabel tumah, but it's nishtana tsuraso, then the Rambam paskins, that's pasul drabanan. And the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam. And so the hechsher is on the material that holds the slats together, that it should be b'tzurat tiv'it, in its natural manner, like sort of a hemp or something that comes out of an eighth deco. In other words, that it's a natural fiber rather than having been put together as a rope. And there are different deos in terms of what can be used, what can't be used. That is the issue. But this is not such a terrible problem. Just be aware that the rope, the chora, is batel in terms of its space to the main material of the machzela, but what it's a maimed. But over here, even according to the Rambam, who passels, it's a psul drabanan, and there is a stirah within the Mishnah Brura as to whether, well, we'll start the other way. Maimed basically is kosher. We fasken that maimed is kosher. It's machokas in the Mishnah, and in the Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes, the Mechaber paskins that maimed is kosher. The Mishnah Brura says yesh machmirim. But the question is, the yesh machmirim, how far do they go? Do they only go if it's a maimed which is midrabanan, or even, I mean, which is pasul daraisa, or even to a maimed which is midrabanan? So again, depending as to which hechsher you're using, that's whatever the poskim decided would be the status of the particular maimed that you have. The Chazon Ish was known to be machmir even on maimed de maimed, but the Mishnah Brura is makel on maimed de maimed. So in other words, we're dealing over here with chumras, and just be aware that you know, it's what is ikar din and what is a chumra. In terms of the walls, shnayim kiochas and the shlishas afilu tefach, the basic question that exists in the sukkah downstairs is one of siman tafrei shlamed seif yud, in which it speaks about a sukkah that's supposed to stand beruach metzuya. And what does it mean that something should be omed beruach metzuya? So there is a bach who passeled that which is mitnadneid, that if it moves beruach metzuya, that's considered to be eno omeid beruach metzuya. Pashas of the Gemara is, and all made Ruach Metzuyah means it would fall down. But the Bach says that it means if it moves in the Mishnah Berurah, Paskin is like the Bach. And that if it moves Beruach Metzuyah, then it's problematic. It's a Machlokas HaPoskim. But the Mishnah Berurah Paskin is L'chumra, so to use a sheet as a wall of a sukkah, either you have to pull it very, very tightly that it shouldn't move at all when the wind blows, or simply to put every three tfachim, until you get to 10 tfachim, wires that would serve as lavud, that those wires or those slats would serve as the walls of the sukkah. I suggested to Rav Eliyahu that we have on this floor old machitzot that used to be in the Beis Medrash, but they're much more than 10 tfachim high, and so if there's one wall downstairs which is a bit problematic, just to take down these machitzos and put them in front of the wall, and that this will be the machitza rather than that which may be moving, and that should solve the problem without a problem. Okay, that's in terms of the structure of the sukkah. In terms of the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, that's siman taf reish lamed tes. Din teshu kein taduru ketsus mitzvus yeshiva besukkah. Ye'ochel v'shoseh v'yoshenu metayel v'dar besukkah kol shivas yamin bein bayom bein balayla k'derach shehu dar bebeiso v'shar yamos hashana shivachol zayin yamim osa adam es beiso arai v'esukaso keva. Practically, what that means is as follows. Let's start. The first night of Sukkot, we have a unique halacha that we have gzera shava, tesvav tesvav, from Pesach to Sukkot, and therefore the Mechara Paskins in Siv Gimel, Achila Sukkah Belel Yom Tov Rishon, Chova. Since it's learned out from Tesvav, Tesvav, so it has to be post Seisa Kochavim, preferably pre-Chatzos. The Shiur is a Kezayis, as opposed to the classic Shiur beating in a Sukkah, which is Kebeitza. And then there's a Machokas HaPoskin, whether one's allowed to be Yotze, this Kezayis, with eating other things as well. With matzah, we have a din shiatam matzah bepiv, that you shouldn't have the matzah along with anything else. You shouldn't put peanut butter in your matzah or whatever. In terms of sukkah, is that a din that deals with the din of matzah, or is that a din which is transferred over with the tesvav tesvav? It's a question. So at least one kezayis you should eat just pat to be yotze all the deos. And then we have, of course, the question, which I haven't heard any weather forecast, but since we're already in the month of October, so is there a heter of mitzta'er on the first night of Sukkot in terms of the kezayis? Generally, we have a din of teshu kein taduru, mitzta'er is pater min hasukkah, and mitzta'er being pater means that someone who goes out in the sukkah is mitzta'er is l'chora chasid shota in a lehedyot. But maybe the first night, because we have this Zereshava, one is supposed to eat the kezayis in the rain. So generally what's suggested in the Mishnah Berurah is to wait for a period that wouldn't interfere with your Simchas Yontif. So that depends on who your family is, who your guests are, etc. 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, to wait until it interferes with your Simchas Yontif. And if it's still raining, then to go outside, not to make a bracha leishe basuka, because there are those who paskin that metzdar is potter on the first night as well, but simply to make kiddush and to wash and to have a kezayis of pot and to bench and then to eat the rest of the meal in the house. To be yotzi the daya that holds that for the kezayis is no heter of mitzta'er. If you ate in the house, and then afterwards it cleared up, so then you would go outside and make another motzi, and then you'd be able to make a bracha of leishev basuka. For that you would need already a kebetza to make it an achilas keva. So anyway, that's the uniqueness of the first night. Other than that, when you eat an achilas keva, you have to eat in a sukkah. When you're eating an achilas arai, which is defined even as pat less than a kebetza, certainly in terms of basar, oaf, beitzim, v'chulei, those are all considered to be achilas arai. Those can be eaten outside of the sukkah, but there's a heater to eat everything in the sukkah. The basic issue is one of bracha. When do you make a bracha? So in Siman Taf Reish Lamed Tes, the Mechaber Paskins, Nohagu, She'ein Mevorchin al Hasukkah Ela Bish'as Achila. This is a daya of Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechaber Paskin is like Rabbeinu Tam, that you only make a bracha on a sukkah b'shas achila. The question is, what does the Mechaber mean when he paskins like Rabbeinu Tam? Is he saying that if you're doing a number of things in a sukkah, you're eating, and you're learning, and you're talking, and the question is, when do you make the bracha? Then Rabbeinu Tam says that the ikar is achila. That's one understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. The other understanding is, no, that we were mafkia any other situations in which you're using the sukkah, and you only are mevarech on the achila. There's machlokes achronim, how to understand Rabbeinu Tam. The nafkamina, of course, is what if someone's going into a sukkah just to sleep? What if someone's going in a sukkah just to learn? Does he make a bracha or not? So according to the first daya, he makes a bracha. The only time he waits for achila is if he's going to eat as well. If he's going to eat and to learn, then he waits until he's going to eat the achilas keva before making the bracha. But if he's only going out to learn, he should make the bracha. According to the second understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, no, he only makes a bracha on achila and on nothing else. The Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Chayei Adam, that kishayotze yitzia gemura la'achar achila v'chozer v'nichnas v'lo yochal ad ha'erev v'kodem ha'achila yitztarech od pa'am latzeis l'beit ha'kneses v'zeh gam kin l'kulei alma tzarech l'varech. The Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Chayei Adam, like the Gra, that if you, the only time that you wait to eat is if you're going to be eating in this sitting in the sukkah. But if you're going to the sukkah and you're not planning on eating at all, you're just not planning on eating, so then you make a bracha, le'sheba sukkah, for going into the sukkah. However, that's the way one should paskin. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. The problem is that there's a stira within the Mishnah Berurah. He paskins this way in terms of one's own sukkah. But he says if you're going to visit a friend, then only if you eat in the sukkah do you make a bracha. However, my nafkamina, if it's your sukkah or your friend's sukkah. So here there's a very beautiful svara of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brought down in the Mincha Shlomo. He says when you're going to your friend's sukkah, basically you're going to visit your friend. Had your friend been in the house, you would have visited him in the house. And you only make a bracha on a sukkah if you're going to be mekayim, the mitzvah of sukkah, qua sukkah. He compared going to visit your friend in the sukkah is like going into a sukkah to see what time it is. If there is a clock in the sukkah, go into the sukkah to see what time it is, you're not going to make a bracha of leishev basukkah. So then, the only time you make a bracha is if you show that you really want to be kind of the mitzvah sukkah by eating an achila on which you're chayav by your friend, either more than a kabetza of pat or an amount of mezonot that you would be koveya on, or some combination of mezonot and yayin, in other words, something that would be considered to be a kvius. If normally you eat breakfast, an American breakfast, right? A cinnamon bun and a cup of coffee, so yitzachen, that's considered to be a kvius in the sukkah as well. That's your breakfast. Your breakfast is bran flakes and orange juice. That's your kvius. Then you'd make a bracha even in a friend's sukkah. But other than that, you shouldn't make a bracha in a sukkah unless you have the kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. But when you have that kavana, even if you're just sitting in the sukkah, you make the bracha. In terms of sleeping, there's a famous Rama who says that he wants to understand the minog that since meikar hadin, even a sleep of arai requires a sukkah. That's why the Mechaber paskins. So why are we so makil in terms of sleeping in a sukkah in Chutz Laretz? So says the Rama, because yesh omrim mishum hatzina, tsar haguf, and yesh omrim, linire, he says, mishum mitzvah sukkah ishu beso, and it's hard to find a sukkah that would be miuchad for a husband and a wife, and therefore, since the wife is indoors, then the principle that one should sit in a sukkah like one would be dar in one's house would allow the husband also to be pater from the sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah very strongly disagrees with the second heter. Tzina is a heter, that's a din of mitztayer. But he felt that there's no heter for a husband not to sleep in a sukkah. There is a heter of when the husband is a kind of mitzvah ona, that once he's already indoors, doesn't have to go out again. And then there is a heter which is thrown around of shana rishona, that husbands shana rishona don't have to sleep in a sukkah. The only place I found it was in the Tshuvas Emes V'Yatziv of the Kloisenberger. So if you're a Kloisenberger chassid, you're shana rishona, you don't have to sleep in a sukkah either. I'm just joking. You know, there's such a heter, but he's the only one I saw that brings it down. What else? Can we just see if there's... Okay, just, I mean, it's impossible to cover all the details in a minute. Just in terms of the general peturim, so mitztayer is a petur. Mitztayer could be that you're too hot or you're too cold. And in such a situation, that had this been your room, you would have gone to another room. Cholim u'misham shehem is a petur. So again, if you're a chola, and you know, it's, you would feel you would want to lie down, and you would lie down in a room that was more comfortable, your platter. The practical application of cholon and misham shehem, for those of us who aren't taking care of sick relatives, is that if we have a deal with our wives that at night we take a toranut in terms of the children, or in terms of the grandchildren, and so then if, you know, that would be a heter of cholon and misham shehem, that since the child has a heter to be in the house and you have a toranut to take care of the child, so you'd also be allowed to be in the house as a din of cholon and misham shehem. Ovrei drachim is also a heter, which means that if you're flying to America during Chol Moed, you don't have to stay up all night. You can sleep on the plane. But what's mentioned is you shouldn't take advantage of the heter. The ovrei drachim should be for purposes that are necessary, either for parnasa, kibud av v'eim, but stam, you decide to take a tiul down to Matsada. So realize that you still chayv in sukkah. So eat things that either there's a sukkah in Magat Sada, but even you know, it's you should check where there are sukkahs in Eretz Yisrael. Generally, most public places have sukkot. Just check if they're kosher or not. But most in the zoo, there are a lot of sukkahs floating around. And if not, so just take with you snacks that are basically patur from a sukkah. It's not a big deal. Excuse me.
I bring a sukkah.
Okay, let's stay there. We used to make a sukkah out of three cars. Actually, even two cars and then opening one of the doors. You could also make a sukkah. There are all sorts. If you really want care about the mitzvah of sukkah, you can just carry some slach on the roof of the car and you can make your sukkah. And you'd be surprised at what a kiddush Hashem you can create by having all sorts of individuals make brachos in your sukkah. Very, very special. Okay. Anything? Okay, just move over to... Yes?
In the star, does he... What... Who is the din called? Sitting in the circle, or what is it the star, other people sitting in the circle? In other words...
You mean that your mother is upset that she heard that you're sleeping in the circle?
Or a wife doesn't want to sleep a woman wherever she's sitting.
It's a very good question. I mean, certainly, in other words, the question is not in terms of mitzvah. Mitzvah is the person who's sitting in the sukkah. The question is whether there is a heter, if one's wife would be upset, whether one's in one's sukkah, would that be a heter? Mitzvah, what would it be a heter? Kavod HaBrios. What? Don't know.
I think it's Shalom Rehoda that says that.
Yes? She's bothered. She's afraid for her or for you?
No, I assume her.
She's afraid for herself. Okay. If Rosh Hashanah Zalman said it, you can strongly summon upon it. I'll be happy to look it up. I wasn't aware of the phenomenon. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Mekubo that people sleep in sukkahs. The weather is nice. The general conditions are nice, and it's Meikar Hadin. Okay. Yeah. Din Doraisa. Yeah.
And also for the sukkah, let's say in Yeshiva, does that count as our sukkah? Like, in other words, I just want to go to that sukkah to learn. Can I make a bracha based on the Mishnah Berurah?
That's your sukkah, yes. That's the sukkah of the Grus Kol, except for the morning of Yom Tov Sheni, where it belongs to the YU alumni, class of 68. Okay?
Okay, and I was just wondering, yeah. What about a hotel? Like, let's say one's staying in a hotel, and they want to learn in that also, should they...
I assume that someone's saying, "Oh, that's his sukkah. That's not, you're not going to visit someone in the sukkah. That's your sukkah. That's the sukkah that you when you rented the room. You assume that you'd be spending time in that sukkah. Yes. No, I didn't say that. I said that the hechsher on the mat is basically a hechsher on the maimed. what exactly is the svara of the Rav HaMachshir? I'm saying that the issues are, is it a maimid b'dorais? Is it a maimid d'rabbanan? Is it a maimid? Is it a maimid d'maimid? Is it, you know, are they machmir one way? You know, it's, so if you have a hechsher that will say this is good even according to the Chazon Ish, so it means that there's no maimid d'maimid, there's no maimid d'rabbanan, there's no maimid at all. In other words, that it... So I'm saying no. The meikar hadin we pass in maimid is mutter. So there's not, you know, if you go to someone else's house, you could be samach and ikar hadin. Why should you not be samach? For yourself, you want to be machmir. But this is no we paskin, the machaber paskins, the mishnah berurah paskins. It's a yesh machmirim. So yesh machmirim, one has to put that into context. That's, I didn't say that, machaber says that. Yeah, except if this is your breakfast. You know, if your breakfast all year round is a granola bar and a glass of juice, that's your keva. That's your keva. Why should your keva be different on Sukkot than it is all year round? And so, l'chor, that should be even the Sukkah. Okay. Regal achas, actually, shalosh regalim, in terms of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. There's a Mishnah.
In Sukkot. Beginning of Perek Makom Shenahagu, which says that we go after Minhag HaMakom.
Makom Shenahagu Lasos Malacha Varbi Psachim V'chulei. If you're going from place to place, Noagin Kachumrei Makom Shehu Yatsam Yisham V'chumrei HaMakom Shalach V'Blisham V'Al Yishana Odom Neha Machlokes. Practically, what does this mean? So, as the Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph, where there was a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he was eating Isra. And Isra is something that in Eretz Yisrael they ate, and in Bavel they didn't eat. The question of whether it's Chalev or Shuman. So in Eretz Yisrael the Paskin there was Mutar, and Bavel Paskin there was Aser. He followed the Minhagim that he had of Eretz Yisrael, even though he currently was in Bavel. Ula Gabi Rabbi Vira Saba V'Rabba Bar Bar Huna, two Talmud Chacham came to visit him, came into the chazina when they knocked on the door, so Kasiya Minayu immediately covered it, but they caught him, right? And so they told Abaye, they snitched on him to Abaye. And so Abaye answered that there are a number of terutzim. And one of the terutzim that Abaye gave was as to whether he was daito lachzor. Ravashi, afilu tema me'eretz Yisrael, abavel hanemi lehecha de'ein daito lachzor. Rabba Babar Chana, daito lachzor havei. So you see that we have a concept that when someone is daito lachzor, he basically maintains the minhagim of the place that he came from, except al yishan, they have machlokas. So why did he cover it up? Why didn't he simply say, I'm daito lachzor? Because it should not be public. It should be something which is private. The question is, does this psak that if a person is daito lachzor, he goes after the minhagim of where he came from, and it's if he's ein daito lachzor, then he takes upon himself the new minhagim of the place that he is. Does this apply to the world of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios? So most Rishonim and Achronim say yes, it does. In other words, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is also minhag avoseinu biyadeinu, and so if a person is daito lachzor, he should go after the minhagim of where he came from. Except the Bali HaTosfos are machmir on the top of Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph that someone going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, and Daito Lachzor to Eretz Yisrael, even though Me'ikar Hadin only keeps one day of Yontov, because he's Daito Lachzor, but he's not allowed to do Malacha at all, even Bitsina. There's no such thing, says Tosfos, V'yishuv lo avdin and afilu Bitsina, afilu Daito Lachzor, lo efshir le Malacha Bitsina kamo shar dvarim. That Malacha, he's the person who's from Eretz Yisrael, who's growing in Chutz Laretz, can't do Malacha. Bal Amor also agrees, it's also Paskin that way in the Mishnah Berurah. So someone coming from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, which applies to most of you, so if you decide to become a Nefesh B'Nefesh, you decide to remain in Eretz Yisrael, then you keep one day. And if you're Daito Lachzor, so then one keeps 2 days. That's the way the Machaber and the Mishnah Berurah Paskins and Siman Hilchos Yontif Siman Tuf Tzadi Vav Mishnah Berurah says Ben Chutz Laretz Shebal Eretz Yisrael Im Daito Lachzor L'Makomo Tzarech L'Asel Shnei Yomim Tovim. However, there are a number of issues over here. The question is, every rule has exceptions. So one question is there an exception depending as to how long you're coming? Let's say you're coming to learn in Gerus for 3 years. Then you plan to return to Chutzar. Does that make a difference? Do you plan to be here for 3 years? You're Daito Lachzor, but you're a long-term Daito Lachzor. So there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yantif that raises this issue. People used to go to learn to a certain place. He says it's irrelevant. If Daito Lachzor means Daito Lachzor. These people, for 3 years, they'll keep Yom Tov Sheni. Someone lives in Matzesdorf. He's here 20 years, but he plans to return to America. But he's here as long as his learning is going well. His learning is going well, 20 years, Baruch Hashem. He'll keep Yom Tov Sheni because his learning is going well. But he's basically Daito Lachzor. That's one issue. Second issue, does it make a difference if you're married or if you're not married? So let's go in two directions. What if you're a bachur? What does it make if you're a bachur or not? You can say maybe a bachur's Daito Lachzor is different than a married person's Daito Lachzor. Namely, the bachur's Daito Lachzor is because he feels he needs two things he can only find in Chutz Laaretz. He needs a parnasa, and he needs a kala. And he thinks that because of his culture, he'll be able to find a parnasa and a kala in Chutz Laaretz. Is that called Daito Lachzor? So Ashkenazim say, yeah, that's Daito Lachzor. Manafgamina, whether it's because he likes football or because, he, you know, whatever it is, that's his Daito Lachzor. But by Sfardish Poskim, this is brought in by Rav Avadia, this is why he used to paskin for the boys who were in BMT, Bishaito, when there was such a thing as BMT, that the boys would come to him and he'd say to the boys, I have a daughter. If you're willing to marry my daughter, I'll give you my daughter and I'll set you up. I'll buy you an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. Would you stay in Eretz Yisrael? If the boy says, I'll stay in Eretz Yisrael, the rabbi did paskins for him, he keeps one day. Because his Daito Lachzor was simply a figment of his imagination. He thought, where is he going to find a kala? In Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadia is offering him a kala in Eretz Yisrael, offering him parnas in Eretz Yisrael. No one makes parnas in Eretz Yisrael. I'm talking a deer in Eretz Yisrael. But if he said, b'chol zot, I want to go back, then he'd keep 2 days. So be aware, by Sfardim, by Sfardish Bachrim, that's a very big cheshbon for them to keep 1 day, because they're really, really not Daito Lachzor, even though they say they're Daito Lachzor. And then you have the other side, what if you're married, and you came with your family? So here's the famous tshuva of the Radvaz, that people who are married, who come with their family, even if they say they're Daito Lachzor, how are they going to move back to such a schlep, all the furniture, v'chule, v'chule, pashas are going to remain where they are. So even if they say they're Daito Lachzor, they should keep 2 days. They should keep 1 day if they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe says no. In time of the Radvaz, that was true. Nowadays, it's 10 hours, 9 hours, depending on which direction you're going. And so you buy new furniture. That's all. It's not a big deal. People come back and forth. Rav Moshe says that's not a cheshbon. So therefore, according to this shita that we're going after the world that we view Yom Tov Sheni within the rubric of Daito Lachzor, Ein Daito Lachzor, people coming from Chutz Laaretz, Eretz Yisrael, and Daito Lachzor should keep 2 full days. The only question is, where do they daven? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Mikol Makom Tfilas Yom Tov Tzarech L'Espalo Bebeisol Betzina. We saw Al Yeshanav Neha Machlokas, that even though you keep your Menhagim of Chutz Laaretz, you do it Betzina. However, the Avkas Rochel, who lived here, right, the Beis Yosef, lived here in Eretz Yisrael, kind of read, his time already, this was a big issue, people would come to visit, and Bnei Eretz Yisrael were mochel. They said, you can daven, it's okay, you can daven in the great synagogue, you can daven, it's perfectly fine. So what's basically mekubal is that they can daven in a shul, they don't have to daven be yechidus, but not like in the main sanctuary. If you're going to daven in the great synagogue, they'll daven downstairs, right? If you're going to daven in Gruz, they'll daven in the auditorium. So you'll have 10, 15 people davening in the Beis Medrash, and you'll have 50, 60 people davening in the auditorium. That, to have a heker, that it's a Yom Tov Sheni Min. They shouldn't daven in the main shul, they're Yom Tov Sheni davening. That's according to the Shita. However, everyone knows that there is a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi in his tshuva says that the din of Daito Lachzor applies to all Minhagim except for Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni is HaMakom Goreim. In the time of Kiddush Al Pi Levana, if Rabbi Akiva went to Chutz Laaretz, and he was Daito Lachzor to Eretz Yisrael, he kept 2 days. He didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. If someone came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, they would keep 1 day, because they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So who had din nowadays? It's a din of Hamakom Gorin. This Shita of the Chacham Tzvi was accepted by the Graz, by the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Mishnah Berurah mentions it here. He says when he brings his shita. So in the Sharatzina says v'chein kasa v'sarei tshuva v'shem rov achronim ayin sham v'ayin v'shulchan aruch hagraz b'zeh. That he brings two deos. In the first day he brings the day of the Chacham Tzvi. There is a group of achronim. That's also Rav Soloveitchik says that this was the Masoris of Beit Brisk already from the time of the Beis Halevi through Chaim, Moshe through him, etc. That makes somewhat of a pshara. That Al Pisvara, the Chacham Tzvi makes a lot of sense. Well, the nice, we don't find it in the Rishonim. We only find it, he's a yachid in terms of the achronim. And therefore, what we do is what's called a day and a half, that since it makes sense, me'ikar hadin, so in terms of davening, of a chule, you keep those who are from Chutz La'aretz, you keep one day, because they're in Eretz Yisrael. But in terms of malacha, she machmir on malacha. One should be machmir on malacha. That's what they call a day and a half. That was a shita also of Rav Si Pesach Frank, of Rav Shmuel Misalant, Rav Kook. They all held this concept of a day and a half. And so that's the makor of that shita. The question in terms of, and then there's one more achron that I should mention, because some of you were his talmidim, and that's Rav Shechter, who said that he doesn't understand that if we have a machlokes between 90% of achronim and the Chacham Tzvi, even if you feel the Chacham Tzvi makes a lot of sense, so why paskin like the Chacham Tzvi and be machmir for the whole world of achronim? Paskin like the world of achronim, be machmir for the Chacham Tzvi. So Rav Shechter, that's the way he paskins, in other words, Pum Fakert, also of 2 days minus, not a day and a half, but 2 days minus. How that works out, Halacha L'maisa, so I have this historic document, that's called the telegram, and he sent this telegram to Benji Kramer, who was learning here in the Kollel, and when you write a telegram, so you put it all in one page. Of course, we had no idea after he sent this telegram what we're supposed to do, because it's written telegraphically. So afterwards, he wrote a whole letter to explain his shita. So, those of you who are talmidim of Rav Shechter, I'll be happy to photostat this, and you can have it, and you can go through it, and the mafalpil in it, and that's what he held that one should do. So, those are the three shitas. Either you're keeping two full days, or you're keeping, or you're a chabadnik and you're keeping one day, four shitas, or you're keeping a day and a half, or you're keeping 2 days minus. So, you have four shitas. In terms of Amir Li Yisrael, since there are a lot of fellows on campus who are keeping only one day, can you ask them to do malacha for you? So that's a machlokes achronim as well. Rav Shechter is Mekel. However, Poskei Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yoshev Shlita, Shamal Zalman, Rav Moshe, were machmir on Amir Li Yisrael, meaning you have to view it like Amir La'akum, that it has to be beremes, and rather than asking directly. Rav Shechter brought a raya from the fact that if someone was Mekabel Shabbos early, he's the Mishnah Berurah paskins, he's able to ask someone who wasn't yet Mekabel Shabbos to do malacha for him. So why is this different? And everyone else says it's different. I'll end off, just there are two things that in Eretz Yisrael we are makted on. In other words, we B'nai Eretz Yisrael are makted on, that B'nai Chutz La'aretz should not do at all. We are makted that on Shmini Atzeres, B'nai Chutz La'aretz should not sit in a sukkah. You want to keep 2 days? Keep 2 days. But don't sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. There's a hakpada. And it's irrelevant whether it's the Gru sukkah over here that no one sees, even from Bayit Vegan, except for the satellite going over probably sees you. But other than that, no one sees. It's irrelevant where you are. It's not a question of tzina or ferhesia. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Boom. So even, this is brought in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, that Rav Shmuel Salant, who held a day and a half. So he says, but not to sit in a sukkah, Rav Shmuel Zalman, not to sit in a sukkah. Even if you keep 2 days. That's one hakpada. Second hakpada is a positive hakpada, and that is that even if you keep 2 days, and the eighth day of after the beginning of Sukkot is your Shmini Atzeres, you should be mishtatef in hakafos of those who have Simchas Torah. Namely, the Simchas Torah of Eretz Yisrael should be a Simchas Torah for the klal of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, even those people who keep 2 days. You're allowed to, on Simchas Torah, on Shmini Atzeres, dance with the Torah. And we do it all the time, right? You're allowed to do it, and so you should do it. You want to have hakafos afterwards on the second day, on the Yom Tov Sheni, have hakafos as well. You can invite people to come. They can play instruments. They can do whatever they want for you, but not to take away from the Kavod HaTorah of the Simchas Torah. Those are the two hakpados of Eretz Yisrael. So we're makpid on them here in the yeshiva as well. Don't eat in a sukkah, and to be mishtatef in the hakafos of the yeshiva. What? The minhag of Eretz Yisrael, right, your third akbada. In Eretz Yisrael, both the Ari and the Gra coincide over here, that we don't put on tefillin on Kol HaMoed, but if your minhag is, yes, to put on tefillin on Kol HaMoed, then we don't mind if you do it b'tzina. But not in shul, not even in the auditorium. One doesn't put on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael on Kol HaMoed. If you're speaking of hakpados, so one also, preferably in Eretz Yisrael, should not go fishing during Kol HaMoed, should not go on a berry-picking mission on Chol HaMoed. These are malachos gemuros that really should not be done on Chol HaMoed. I also spoke to Rabbi Wilg about it, and he said he felt, if it was in his hands, he'd be mevatel in Chutz Laaretz as well. Since he can't be mevatel, so he says it should only pick as many berries as he's going to eat during Yontif. But, it's one should try and find Chol HaMoed activities that are not kosher to Katsira. And to real malachas. Driving a car, you're allowed to drive a car for Simchas Yontif, but in terms of going to pick berries, that really we should try and find another activity. Okay, any other questions? I want to apologize to Rav Bednar for taking so much time. Yes.
What's the Aramis and Hakpada you use to answer the Tzina? If everything else you use the Tzina because you're Malkum, so why that special?
It's a good question, and I can't say why B'nai Eretz Yisrael are more makpid on this one halacha than in other halachas, but there's akpada. And so...
It
says, Al Yeshan Deham Machlokas. So, no, that's called Machlokas. In other words, that itself, in other words, will bring about Machlokas. That's the Al Yeshana. There are different levels of machlokas. Okay. Don't worry, everyone's going to find out about it. Okay.